Hello and welcome to Conversations from Studio B.
When shall we three meet again? In thunder, lightning, or in rain?
When the hurly-burly's done. When the battle's lost and won.
That will be ere the set of sun.
Where the place?
Upon the heath.
There to meet with Macbeth.
Well, that's all well and good, but that's not the play we're doing. Hi, I'm Dean Barker. I'm the director of Athenian Berean Community Players, a.k.a. ABC Players, upcoming production of Terry Pratchett's Weird Sisters, adapted for the stage by Stephen Briggs. We'll be performing at Stewart's Opera House in Nelsonville at 8 p.m. on Thursday through Saturday nights, October 29, 30, and 31, as well as matinee performances at 2 p.m. on Saturday, October 31st, and Sunday, November 1st. You can order tickets in advance for $10 from the Opera House box office at 740-753-1924 or online at stewartsoperahouse.org. Or, of course, you can purchase tickets at the door for $12 or $7 with a valid student ID. So, in short, we're offering a great show as an alternative or in addition to all the other Athens County Halloweens going on this year. I'm here in the studio with my three witches around whom the play revolves. We have Celeste Parsons, who plays Granny Weatherwax, Karen Chan, who is our Nanny Og, and Heidi Wilhelm, playing Magret Garlic, a newly minted young witch who rounds out the coven of three. Also with me is Timothy Clue, who is providing us with an original musical score for the show, which I believe is a first for ABC Players.
I think it is.
We're grateful and delighted to have him on board.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
We'll talk with Timothy in a moment, but first I'd like to introduce our witches individually. And I need to say here that Celeste Parsons and I are both huge Terry Pratchett fans, and each of us discovered the delights of his Discworld series of satiric fantasy novels independently, but I think about the same time a few years ago. And earlier this year, I was surfing the internet and discovered that a number of these novels have been somewhat miraculously adapted for the stage by British playwright and producer Stephen Briggs. I was overcome with curiosity, so I ordered a few different scripts. And I showed them to Celeste, who encouraged me to propose Weird Sisters to ABC Players and make my first foray into directing. I admit it's been a tad intimidating, but so far, and I think I can speak for all of us, when I say we're having a grand time with it so far. Now, I believe it will be a truly unique production and a lot of fun for both the cast and the audience. So, Celeste, tell me about your character of Granny Weatherwax.
Oh, Granny Weatherwax is one of my very favorite Discworld characters. She's the senior by virtue of age and also by virtue of, dare I say, power, of the witches in the Discworld. She has an interesting way of attacking magic and the practice of witchcraft. She's a practitioner of what she calls headology. That is almost a psychological approach to performing magic. As she says at one point during the play, when Nanny Og is urging her to curse somebody, she says, "No, we ain't gonna curse anybody. It hardly ever works if they don't know you done it." And that's typical of her. She's very practical. She plays for all she is worth on the reputation that she and the other witches have built up. So everybody knows certain things about witches. They can't be imprisoned against their will. You know, they can work all these magic things on you. You don't want to cross a witch. But at the same time, she is completely sympathetical to the ordinary daily problems of the people of Lanker, the kingdom in which she resides. And in other stories outside of the Weird Sisters tale, She says repeatedly that witches are the ones who take responsibility. They are the ones who sit with the old people that other people have gotten tired of sitting with because they maybe smell a little bit bad and they're crotchety and whatnot. They do provide the medical herb and other treatments that people need. And that's part of the job of a witch, is to be this person who takes responsibility for making sure that people have what they really need to have. So she's an interesting kind of contradiction in herself. On the one hand, this very self-assured, confident, never admitting that she possibly doesn't know anything or that she could be wrong. And on the other hand, this very sympathetic person who you may not know it when you look at her, but she really wants to make sure that the troubles of everybody are dealt with. And not just the people, but the land and the animals and everything else that makes up this this wonderful place that we're dealing with Terry Pratchett.
And next is Karen Chan. Karen, tell me how you envision your character of Nanny Ogg.
Well, where Celeste, as Granny, follows the rules when she wants to, I think Nanny doesn't really think about it. She's more of a she does before she thinks. For instance, Granny doesn't curse people. That's not the way witches are. But Nanny will go, well, I'm going to curse them anyway, under my breath, like.
She kind of shoots from the hip a little
she
bit.
She does. That's it, she, exactly. She does. And she's very earthly, and she likes her parties, and she likes her liquor, and she loves her other witches' companions. So She's a fun, fun character to play. I just love her.
Yeah, I wish we could have gotten into the character of Grebo, which is
the cat,
Nanny
my cat,
Ogg's cat, who is
a lovable cat.
About the most vicious, horrific feline ever to haunt the novels of Discworld. Karen, of course, is one of the brightest stars of the Athens Community Theater firmament, and
I had to pay him.
Really grateful to have her as part of my cast for this show, and I'm not sure how I could have done this without her tireless effort to help find sponsorships for the show. And thanks go out to Donkey Coffee and Tea and to Little Professor Book Center for their support.
Yes,
we love you.
And also, my thanks to Karen for helping to assist me with all my directorial struggles. And, of course, it's always a delight to work again with Heidi Wilhelm, who is bringing to life Magrat Garlic like I think no one else could. Heidi, what do you think about Magrat?
Magrat is very naive. It's as if she grew up in a cave, which, of course, is possible. She might very well have grown up in a cave. I don't know that she was planning on being a witch, but she was tapped by the doyen of witches, and in doing so has kind of made this her calling and is going over and above and beyond the call of duty by reading all sorts of books and getting all sorts of newfangled ideas on how things ought to be, and yet being schooled by those who have been doing it much longer than she, that she's just doing it wrong. So she's a fun character to play.
And the doyen of witches, of course, happens to be
Goody Wimper.
Wimper.
May she rest in peace. Or at least it used to be. The title has passed, I must say.
Now, I also wanted to mention the rest of the cast, which is one of the largest and most talented casts I've worked with ABC Players. And it's probably fortunate that they're not all here with us, because we wouldn't have been able to squeeze everybody into the studio.
Aren't we lucky? Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh.
But they are playing the murderous Duke Felmet is veteran actor Joe Balding, and his Duchess Lady Felmet is ably portrayed by the talented Tracy Corrigan. And the fool is Cody Bonds, making his debut with ABC Players. the late King Varence by another great veteran, Bruce Jones, and the young royal heir, Tom John, wonderfully portrayed by Athens High School junior, or is he a sophomore?
Don't know.
I don't know either.
I think he's a junior. Sam Witmer, wonderful young actor. The part of Hwel, Discworld's answer to William Shakespeare, is Christine Newman. Olwen Vitoler is the manager of the traveling acting troupe that performs the play within a play. It is played by Jim Parsons. And his wife, Mrs. Vitoler, is the lovely Carol Ault. And I'm delighted to be able to coax my dear friend and mentor Norm Cohen onto the stage as the sergeant. I've been looking forward to that since I've known him. And rounding out the cast, each showcasing their talents in at least two different roles, because there are more parts in this show than I have actors for. But all of these terrific actors are making their first ABC appearance, and they include Mike Ritter, Billy O'Reed, Noah Klein, Dan Erlewine, Clyde Tippy, Miranda Miller, Caitlin Aubin, Dawn O'Neill, and Debbie Campanelli, and many of whom have been traveling long distances to be involved with this show.
Thank you to all of you. It's wonderful to have so many new people.
And I think another multiple player is Cecilia Rinaldi, am I right?
Oh, absolutely. I missed a sentence here on my cheat sheet. I also meant to mention two more ABC veterans, not only Cecilia Rinaldi, but the great Dr. Neil Nesbitt.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes, of course.
Who I'm really looking forward to seeing in drag in the show.
You and everybody else. Really. Just come for that.
And, of course, we couldn't do it without our production crew, which consists so far of Luann Jones as stage manager, Suzanne Ragg as props manager and assistant stage manager in case Luann has to ditch town for the birth of her first grandchild.
Oh, my goodness.
And Nellie Werger is costume designer. And, of course, there's Timothy Clue, our composer and music magician. And Timothy, can you share with us what you've been creating for us and maybe give us a sample?
Well, when I put the music together, I think of the world in which the people will be a part of. And I try to put a original work to introduce the show with an overall theme and feel for what the audience is going to be seeing. And then I also try to write small tunes that will come around the characters or groups of characters that will add a feel so the audience can see what they are about to be in for, or sometimes prepare them for what they think they're about to see, in which the show has a nice twist on what you expect and what you get. I brought with me today the Flight of the Witches, the final scene of Act One, and I have it ready for you to listen to.
Oh, let's listen to it if we can.
Thank you.
That was great.
Shivers down the back.
That was great. That was great.
You're listening to Conversations from Studio B on WOUB 1340 AM and online at woub.org. And I'm Dean Barker from Athenian Berean Community Players and director of the upcoming production of Terry Pratchett's Weird Sisters. And I'm here talking with members of the cast and also the composer of our original soundtrack, Timothy Clue, who wrote that piece of music that we just heard. And that was just
That's completely amazing.
I had heard a snippet of that a couple of weeks ago, but it really seems to have progressed a lot.
Yeah, actually, that's my one of my favorite scenes from this play. And so I got to admit, a little more love went into that piece over the others.
Timothy, I have to ask, that had all sorts of different instruments in it, which I'm sure you don't have sitting around your living room. What are you actually working on?
Well, yeah, and I can't play most of those instruments either. What I do is I put together a mix of electronic and also real instruments whenever I can. I find, you know, putting in the authentic instruments often makes the electronic instruments more believable. And I go through a process of, going over the scenes of the story and thinking about what I would expect to see myself as far as the emotions go. And it's basically a process of scoring the music, then recording, then, going through the steps, mixing, mastering, and getting a finished product, you know, that type.
But are you do you have some kind of giant synthesizer that you're getting the various kinds of harp and winds and all of that?
I have a lot of sampled sounds. I have three synths and samplers that I use, and I just keep on adding to their libraries. I mostly favor classical, and and pretty much whatever I just think up, I can usually find it out there.
And I don't want to hijack, but I want to know how did you find us? How did you come to us? Because I am so grateful that you are volunteering your time to do this. You're just wonderful.
Well, I got involved with the Central Ohio Community Theaters several years ago, and I really enjoyed my involvement in it. And it was during one of the cast parties. I was on a piano, and a director named Don Roberts came up and asked me, would you be interested in putting together a piece, to play during a it was original play that he was doing. And I thought, well, sure, why not? And he asked me for some sort of symphony piece, and I was like, well, that certainly gives me a lot of opportunity. Went home and really beefed up one that was a great addition to his play. And I enjoyed doing that so much that I sent emails out to many theaters across the state saying, hey, I'm out here. You may have never thought of putting music in your productions, but, I'd like to give it a try and see if it enhances your shows.
And we received Timothy's email at a very opportune time because it was very shortly before our meeting where we selected our plays for the season. So we invited him down to that meeting, which he very graciously came and got to meet the directors of the plays that were selected for the season, and so luckily I was the first in line, so
I stepped right up, didn't you?
Yeah, and I am so glad to have him with us.
And I was like, I got him on the hook. There's promise here.
Yeah, we invite the community to all join us, not only for this feast of Weird Sisters, but also come and join us. We're a great group, aren't we?
We're super fun.
And we have so much super fun. Such a good time doing all of these.
And we're in especially in need of people who want to work backstage, too, because we have a lot of actors, although we can always use more, but we're in desperate need of people that enjoy doing scenery crew or sounds or lights.
Lights especially right now.
Particularly lighting design is what we're in a sorry need for. So if anyone's out there listening that has an interest in theatrical lighting design, please contact us. You can find our website at www.abcplayers.org. And
there's a contact us link on
that.
Yeah,
plenty of people there to contact. So if you're out there listening, please come join us.
Yeah, and feel free to call me, Karen Chan, at 707-7363 if you don't have access to a computer.
And I'd have to say, as a pitch for the technical side of theater, I've done a bit of both, and one should never think that the only creativity that goes on in a theatrical production is the province of the actors on stage. I mean, we've certainly just seen a sample of that in Timothy's music, which is a technical thing. But, finding and making props is a fascinating thing to do. Designing and building the set, designing the lights. It's amazing what a difference you can make with colors or with toning down certain parts of the lighting and increasing others. The more I get into the technical side of theater, the more interesting I find that aspect. So. Even if you think that you're too shy to ever get up on a stage, which, of course, doesn't apply to any of us here. But even if you think that, feel free to offer your assistance in terms of taking part backstage, getting interested. If you don't know it, we'll be glad to teach you what we know, taking part in any of the technical sides and you couldn't meet a nicer bunch of interesting and enthusiastic people than we have in the group.
Multi-talented in so many aspects of life, too. One good example is Suzanne Ragg, who joined us a few years ago, having never had any theatrical experience at all, I believe. I may be wrong there. But she's now one of our best stage managers and can whip around a cast like you wouldn't believe.
And she joined a cast in Little Abner last year. And just enjoyed it very much. So,
I actually made my foray last season anyway, into the technical side and running the lights for the show last August, the Quilters show.
She did a wonderful job.
So much fun. I mean, for people who think that it might be boring doing the technical side, it is just as scary and exhilarating and adrenaline punched as anything else on stage. So, if you're interested in being really scared and really excited all at the same time, the technical side is definitely an option as well.
And no one gets paid, and we're all in the same boat. Join us. We're poor together, but we love you.
Well, I think Karen's point is key in that none of us get paid. Everybody there is for the sheer love of it.
Yeah, absolutely, just the delight and the joy.
That makes it such a wonderful, beautiful environment to be involved with, and there's not a soul in this group that I don't enjoy spending any free minute I have with.
And the other thing about it is you become part of something, and by contributing to that, the total effect is so much more than you could ever do individually, any one of us. But by putting all of those talents together, you get something that's bigger than everybody. The whole really is bigger than the sum of its parts.
And being involved with all these different people can inspire each of us to do more and to become more and to learn more. I mean, I'm doing more now than I did 2 years ago, and it's just so much fun. Each of us grows.
And we're so grateful to Brian Gibson and WOUB for allowing us to share all this with you, too. Advertising is our biggest expense besides royalties, so that's why we need you to come forward and sponsor a show, too, just for the advertising. And I'll talk to you creatively how to do that.
And apparently.
And speaking of royalties, I should bring up that this is a very unique show in that the playwright is not receiving any of the royalty monies for this show. In fact, he insists that all of the royalties are paid to the nonprofit Orangutan Foundation, which works to preserve habitat for wild orangutans.
Wonderful.
In their native habitat. So all the more reason to come and sponsor the show. So I'd just like to recap. I'm Dean Barker. I'm directing the Athenian Berean Community Players upcoming production of Terry Pratchett's Weird Sisters, and that's spelled W-Y-R-D, Sisters, adapted for the stage by Stephen Briggs. And we'll be performing at Stewart's Opera House in Nelsonville at 8 p.m. on October 29, 30, and 31st. That's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And matinee performances at 2 p.m. on Saturday, October 31st, and Sunday, November 1st. And you can purchase tickets at the Opera House box office at 740-753-1924 or online at stewartsoperahouse.org.
And in the last few seconds that we have, maybe as a hook, favorite moment in the play?
I always seem to be washing my hair.
True. And the reason why is what you'll have to come and see. Kara?
I just love it all. But you can see me in the stocks.
Ah, true. That's a first. I guess one of my favorite scenes is the actual major magic incantation, which is done, which Granny gets to do, and which is what finally brings us to a good conclusion for the better of Lanker and Discworld.
And with Heidi mentioning washing her hair, I just have to mention Joe washing his hands, which I'm not going to say anything more about that right now, but that's worth the price of admission right there to witness that.
Thank you.
And I'd just like to thank everybody for joining me. And once again, you have been listening to Conversations from Studio B. And I'm Dean Barker with Athenian Berean Community Players, or ABC Players.